Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. All right, so I have a lot to share with you in such a short time. And I'm just hoping that you can open up your spirit and receive like a sponge. You see, there are some sermons that are seemingly theoretical. You see, if we are talking about maybe the second coming of Christ, even if we anticipate it, because it hasn't happened, you know, we learn about it, we rejoice in it, you know, but it's still in the future. But what we are discussing today is something that is very important. Some of you need it right now. Because, you see, even if we have like a mixed demography increasingly in this church, you know, the average demography still comprises of people who must make right choices now. Because, listen, there is a window of your life where key decisions must be made. And if you take the wrong steps, it would take decades to correct. Take decades. And so we are going to see God, by his mercy, correcting people who have made errors, you know, but for people who have not made some key decisions already, I know a God who can help you make the right step the first time. Say loud, amen. Amen. So you don't have to associate gray hair with wisdom that at the age of 55, you finally begin to get it. That's not your portion in the name of Jesus. Turn your Bible, Psalm 23. So this month of divine leading, divine guidance, I want you to open up your heart, open up your spirit, and be ready to receive. Because I'm not trying to preach a good sermon. I'm trying to help you open up your heart to the leading of God. So it will be a great testimony to, at the end of this series, hear people say, I got clarity. Clarity is something that I know very much about. Because from 2009 till date, there has never been a morning I woke up and I did not know what to do. From 2009, there has never been a day I woke up and I was like, am I sure which way my life is going? And I think that's a huge blessing. And I want everybody to be able to say that. I enjoy divine leading. Sometimes there are some things I get. I don't know what to do with it. Just two nights ago, I was in a night vision. And someone introduced me to a billionaire. A billionaire I don't know in real life. And I said, nice to meet you, sir. What do you do? And he said, I sell this. I said, is that the only thing you sell? He said, yes. And I said, by selling this, you became a billionaire. He said, yes. And then I woke up. So I know visions. I knew God was telling me, if you change your mind, or if you decide to do this, you will be blessed. And I'm like, God, I don't even need that. I'm so busy already. And I'm like, some people are entrepreneurs and are not picking visions like this. And God is just, do you understand what I'm saying? And what is interesting is that a lot of people don't even know what the anomaly is. If you came to someone and said, the Lord said, sometimes they will look at you as someone who is spooky, like, really? What is that lie? God speaks. And you don't even know that what is extraordinary is that a human being doesn't hear God. That's what is extraordinary. That's what is surprising. You've never heard God before? That's strange. So let me ask you this. What is the first language the first man ever spoke? Don't mind me. I like to overthink things sometimes. I don't know what took my mind there, but I think it's worth considering. You imagine, what language might that have been? Maybe you don't know that and I don't know that, but another question that can put some perspective. Who was the first person he spoke to? You're not sure? God, of course. Before the woman was ever made, Adam had interactions with God. Now, when he opened his eyes for the first time, who was the first person he ever saw? God. So listen, God designed you to be naturally supernatural. And in fact, at some point in human history, we were interacting with God before we were interacting with the fellow man. Because there was a time where there was only one of us. And he interacted with God. And in fact, that was the only interaction that existed. The first words were spoken to God. And then the first gaze was on God. So the anomaly is that you don't hear God. Or that you don't receive divine guidance. That's what's strange. Not the other way around. God created you to be naturally supernatural. Listen, and even scientifically, some of you have some semblance. You have some questions that cannot be explained scientifically, at least not to the best of my knowledge. Has it ever happened to you that you were sitting somewhere and suddenly you felt that someone was looking at you and you turned and you were right? So, how did you know? Are there eyes at the back of your head? How could you have felt, you literally felt eyes on you and you turned and you were correct? Has science explained that? How do you explain that? Listen, you have a mind, but you are more than a mind. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So if you check very well, there will be some explanations that you will need for some events that science cannot explain. Okay, for instance, have you ever been to a place for the first time and you felt like you had been there before? And in fact, some conversations ensued and you had heard them before. How do you explain that? I mean, you've gone to school. Did your biology teacher or your chemistry teacher ever explain that to you? How can you explain that? You are a spirit being. And if you understand that well, you'll be able to engage better. There is a lot more you can do, a lot more you can accomplish. And I want us to start with a simple confession. Listen, like I said, I'm not trying to preach a good sermon. So for instance, what we're about to read, you already know it. But I just want to inject it into your spirit, like an emphasis. So that this becomes a mantra. Someone like you, even a man of the senses, because David was not born again at the time because he couldn't be, because Jesus had not come, right? You know, but this is his communication. And a lot of Christians, 2,000 years after Christ, still don't speak like this. Psalm 23 verse 1, everybody, roar it from your spirit. 1, 2, go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, there are many things that the Lord has identified himself as. The attributes of God. He is your redeemer, you know, and he's your healer. But listen, there is a dimension in divine guidance. That must be a revelation and a reality in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. Meaning, I would never lack guidance. Oh, Jesus. It's like you're sleeping today. Imagine you came to a point where it's not even a point of negotiation. You believe that the Lord is my shepherd. I've never lacked guidance. And then repeatedly he says, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Meaning, my life is replete with divine guidance. I'm always led. So imagine, he's not even telling this to God. He's not saying, God, lead me. He's writing his personal testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. I will never lack guidance. I always know what to do. Oh my God. This is a good opportunity for you. You are looking at me. Am I here to tell you about a God you don't know? Say, the Lord is my shepherd. Say, divine guidance will never be hard for me. Hey, say, in every aspect of my life, I always know what to do. I always know where to go. Say it again, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hey, I give you 10 seconds, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. I want to show you another one. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17. Very quickly. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17. He says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. So listen, yeah, he's your Savior. But there's something else you should know about him. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit and leads you in the way that you should go. Listen, yes, I am your Redeemer. I've translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son. But I am also the one who teaches you to profit. Oh my God. And I lead you in the way that you should go. Meaning none of your steps will slide. Hey, meaning divine guidance is a reality in your life. Because I know a Redeemer, but I also know a Shepherd. I shall not want. He teaches me to profit. He leads me in the way that I should go. You know, it's a supernatural advantage in my life. You see, not too long ago, just days ago, a man of God said, sit down, I want to ask you questions. He said, I have been in ministry for close to 30 years. He says, you don't know the depth of wisdom that you carry. He said, I have never seen anyone your age with this type of exposure and understanding. He said, so he started interviewing me. Are your parents pastors? Where did this come? You know, and after he had asked and asked, of course, I said, glory be to God, you know, it's election of grace. I just said, it's the Lord. I know it sounds cliche, but it's the Lord. I mean, that many times I will be done praying and I have seven things, specific things that the Lord has told me do. Even things that I did not learn. Simple things like idea of the logo of the church. Okay, endless life. Double infinity. How? So, listen, I can't explain it. I'll never forget, you know, the time I was talking to one of the founders of one of the best ad agencies in this country. And he says, I cannot get over this logo. That is his job. That is what he does professionally. He pays people for ideas like this. He said, I can't get, it's so brilliant. And I'm just like, I go just pray, sir. You don't understand. You know they had me. I see, I am telling you so that that will become your confession. Where, like Daniel, you can say, ah, King, wait now. Why did they rush? Let me go and pray. Is it a dream? I will tell you now. Give me 3 days. The Lord is my shepherd. Hey, I don't lack guidance. Me? Guidance? He makes me lie down. Meaning, when you look at my life, there are decisions that are supernaturally inspired. They didn't come by feasibility study or by intelligence. He made me lie down. Meaning I stayed here. Maybe I am in this country because he said stay. I didn't study economics or because everybody is traveling out. Please, are you getting this at all? He made me lie down. There's a reason I'm waiting. He said to wait. And even if there is a famine, if I sow, I will reap 100-fold. My own difference. I have a shepherd. So, I mean, it's a confession to have, and then it's a protocol to master. So, one of the things you must master in your life is, how do I get guidance? How do I get guidance? Like, even David, like I said, a man of the senses, he wants to go to battle and he will say, should I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I recover all? And God said, go. And then it is said about him, he never lost a battle. Hi. I don't know about you. I want that life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, so the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, you know that book? Have you ever read it? It's not a cooking book. He says, look at this. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he will say. Meaning, oh my God, listen, I want divine guidance and I know what to do. So he uses like physical attributes and metaphors to explain it. I will go and like stay on a high place and position myself for divine guidance. So there is a protocol for it. In the Old Testament, there was something, stones called Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim. So these stones, the high priest would put them in their jacket, you know, close to the breastplate. And if you wanted direction, maybe to Jakba, yes or no, they will put their hand, you know, and what might have seemed like a normal lottery is now guided by God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this one happened in the presence of God. The reason I'm making this distinction is because there were some lotteries done in other places in the Bible that were not supernaturally inspired. I'm coming to that. And then we just bring it out. No, stay here, stay in Nigeria, you know, for example. And just as a divine witness, you didn't laugh. Some of you, you can't even laugh. You know, just as a witness that it wasn't fluke, the stones will glow. In fact, some Jewish sources will say that from the glow of the stone, it will be like a projection, just like the way you have projectors, and then there will be texts written on it, that specific information. So you have to understand, guidance was so natural for the Jews that Saul, after he lost his donkey, and he had checked, say, let me go and ask a prophet. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was so natural to them. I'm looking for a donkey. It's just like maybe you lose your phone and maybe for some reason, you know, in 2023, you're still using an Android or something, you know, so. I'm just joking. I'm joking, I suppose. You know, and. You know, I mean, just imagine. You're like, I'm going to ask God. Listen, that's how practical it was. That's how practical it was. So now, what is the protocol for a new creation? I'll tell you one simple thing. It's a text you know, but you saw it as maybe something that happened in the Bible. You didn't never considered it to be a protocol. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts 13 verse 2. I hope I can finish this on time so that we pray. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, please read as much as I read, 1, 2, go. Ah, my God. He says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, listen, I am telling you a secret. This is a protocol. Worship is a protocol for divine direction. That even if you were not seeking direction, like these people, you were just serving, loving on the Lord, being available, you know, and praying to Him and ministering to Him. As they did that, the Holy Spirit said, worship is a protocol for divine direction. And I know what some of you might be thinking. Are they worship? At least on Sunday. You know, because some of you, by worship, you think I'm talking about, you know, that 15 minutes, 20 minutes window where celebration worship comes on this platform and leads you into six songs, you know, and you sing out your lungs. That's not what I'm talking about. Worship is not singing. Even though singing can be worship. So when you study the history of the word, in Bible theology, there is something called the principle of first mention. And that tells you, or that suggests that the first ways that the word is used in the Bible set the stage for the understanding of the word throughout the Bible. So if you want to understand what worship is, look at how it was used in Genesis. And then when you look at how it was used in Genesis, not just in Genesis, in Exodus, Leviticus, you know, in almost throughout the Old Testament, it was never really used in association with music at all. And that might be surprising. Don't get me wrong. You can worship using music, but worship is not music. This is why God said, these people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. So just the fact that your lips are moving and you are singing does not mean you are worshiping. Because some of you have taken up songs as an avenue to lie. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Meanwhile, you are struggling with generosity. And you, so you are saying things that you don't really mean, that are not the experience of your life. That's not true. That's not what worship is. It's deeper than that. And so when is the first time that word was used? The Bible says that Abraham had taken his son Isaac to the mountain with a few servants, you know, and then when they got to the foot of the mountain, he told the servants, wait here and I will go yonder with the lad to worship. And by worship, we know he didn't go with mesichinwo, you know, or with instruments. They were not going to go there and sing. He was going to actually sacrifice Isaac. So by worship, he meant sacrifice. And more often than not, worship referred to sacrifice. And that's how come in John chapter 4. When that Samaritan woman saw Jesus, she says, yeah, I had a question. You Jews worship, meaning offer sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. But our fathers offered sacrifices, worshipped on this mountain. Where is the place to worship? And Jesus said, the hour is coming where it shall neither be in Jerusalem or here. But the Father seeks true worshippers. And true worship is not some, is not a text you read when you're about to sing. He was saying by true worship, he meant that the lambs that they sacrificed in Jerusalem and on the mountain were but a shadow of the true Lamb of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it was about sacrifice. And then I know what you're thinking. Oh, now I get it. It's not music. Worship is sacrifice. You're also wrong. Even if you can worship by sacrificing, it was beyond sacrifice. So what is worship? Worship is anything by which you demonstrate your consecration to the Lord. Worship is anything by which you demonstrate your consecration to the Lord. So it could be by singing, it could be by giving. That's why we call it, you know, what do we call it? Worship offering sometimes, right? It could be by giving. It could be by singing. It could be by living. That's why the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your most reasonable service or worship. So worship is the disposition of your life. It's not what you do on Sunday morning, it's what you do every day of the week. How you live. So, how then does this concern leading? Oh my God. Because, listen, when God looks at your heart, he must find that there is no competition between him and other gods. And when he finds that, that is the posture of worship. And when you minister to the Lord like that, as a lifestyle, you will never lack guidance. Listen, I am telling you on the strength of the word of God. Whatever else you learn about divine leading will not work if you don't get this one right. And so the Bible tells us, for instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, 1 Samuel 28 verse 6, the Bible says, and Samuel inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him. So the same Bible that says, seek and you shall find. Samuel sought, the Lord did not answer him. Did I say Samuel? Saul, I beg your pardon. Saul sought and the Lord did not answer him. Because his heart was wrong. So, you can be wondering why you are praying and God is not answering. Why you are fasting, God is not answering. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 1. The Bible says that the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus testing him and saying, show us a sign in heaven. First and foremost, you have to understand that that request was not actually far-fetched. And there is even biblical precedence for that, because there were prophets of old who showed signs in the heavens. You know, so the Bible tells us about Samuel in 1 Samuel 12, verse 16 to 18. I'm just taking all these references. I want you to study it when you get home. 1 Samuel 12, from verse 16 to 18. The Bible says that Samuel said, as a witness to what I am saying, he says, thunder will strike now. And thunder struck, bam! And so people knew, oh yes, this is a prophet, and what he's telling us is of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 8, that Isaiah caused the shadow of the sun to go back by few dials. As a sign, the shadow of the sun will go back few dials. So now, if these people, on the strength of this biblical precedent, say, yeah, you're a prophet, show us a sign in the heaven. It wasn't a small thing for God to do. In fact, at the crucifixion of Jesus, there were a lot of signs. Signs that mesmerized all the other signs that all these people, we are talking about thunder. At noon, everywhere became dark. How's that for a sign? There was an earthquake. The veil covering the most holy place tore from top to bottom. Graves opened on their own accord. There were greater signs. But in this particular context, when they asked, Jesus said something. And there's a lot to learn. I wish I had more time to unpack this. So just follow and put on your thinking caps quickly. Jesus answered and said to them, verse 2, when it is evening, you say it will be a fair weather and the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be a foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. He says, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Oh my God, listen, this changes all you ever read and knew about divine leading. Because Jesus is saying, just the same way, even if rain is not falling yet, has it ever happened you saw the sky and you thought rain will fall, so you took your umbrella out? Has it happened or not? So he's saying, if you can predict the weather, he says, divine leading is as simple as telling when it is going to rain. And if it is not simple like that for you, you are a hypocrite. He says, if you can tell from the weather that it's going to be a foul weather or the weather is going to be fair, the same way you should be able to tell the supernatural signs of the season. But then he didn't stop there. Verse 4, he says, wicked and adulterous generation, you seek after signs and no signs will be given to you. So why won't any sign be given? Because they are wicked and adulterous. You see, adultery is not in marriage alone. It is in devotion to the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, so he's saying, some of you still seek me for miracles, but you are cheating on me. You are flirting with idols. And the reason I'm not going to answer you is because even if you are singing worship out loud, I have vetted your heart and I know that your heart is not with me. Are you listening to this? Your heart is not with me. And so, worship is total alignment and consecration to the will of God, to the timing of God. You know, so when you find yourself impatient and you are determined to get results, and you are only using God for those results, you will not be led. That's what the Bible is saying. You are adulterous. So no sign will be given to you. Because God doesn't just lead you to advance your own life. Leading is the privilege of those who are seeking to please God. So he gives them leading because they want to please him. So this is my will. That is why he leads. Not for selfish agenda, but so that people whose minds and hearts are truly after him can please him. That's why. And so if your heart is not after him, you're not going to discern his leading. So simple. This is what Saul did. So there was a time, because Saul was in rebellion, God was not answering him when he prayed. So one time when he prayed and God did not answer, he just went and brought the Urim and the Thummim that should be used in the temple, brought it out. and used it. 1 Samuel 13. And guess what? It worked. He wanted to know, who in his camp was snitching, and then it fell on Jonathan. And he was correct. But he was wrong. And so one of the things that Samuel reprimanded him for, he said, don't you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? And don't you know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? So because of your rebellion, you are determined not to do things God's way. You have entered witchcraft. Because the patterns for divine leading, you have brought it out of the church. You have brought it out, and now familiar spirits have taken advantage of that. Think about that. In the time of Jonah, these guys, and there's a lot to even say about that. A lot of Christians don't even have that level of meticulousness. When they saw the waves, they said, this is not ordinary. This is not ordinary. Some Christians cannot tell when the things they are going through is not ordinary. They said, there is someone in this boat who is not supposed to be here. And they were right. And they cast lots. So what you call lots are a perversion of the Urim and Thummim that was used in the most holy place for direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a perversion of that. So I'm telling you now that there are many people who pervert God's methods. Listen, they may even have a church, have a pulpit, hold a microphone, but they are not doing it by the Spirit of God. But some people are too desperate to discern. Too desperate. Some of you are too easily impressed. Just go somewhere. Someone will call your phone number. Phone number that you know. Do you not know your phone number? And I thank God, we function in prophetic gifts here. But you have to be careful in these end times. Are you listening to me? Yes, so you have to see, eventually, Saul's heart became obvious. Because when God did not listen, he went to a witch. He did not go to a witch at the end. Some of you, the way you are going, one day you will sit on the floor with Baba, the way you are going. Too desperate. You can't wait. God says, adulterous. Adulterous heart. You are using me. Your heart is really not for me. You want direction to advance your own cause, not as a methodology for consecration, to advance your own cause. And that's not what it's for. Divine leading is so that your worship can be effective, so that you can be in the will of God. Because, I want to give you the desires of your heart, and I want your heart to desire me. That's what divine leading is for. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? If you learn this one thing, it will open up every other thing. You start getting guidance in a crazy way. Please, are you listening to me? For you shall seek me and find me after you have sought for me with the whole of your heart. Meaning, there are no other idols. Your heart is solely fixated on me. Listen, so some of you, your heart is fixated on peer pressure. I should be married by now. I should be this by now. So your heart is not on God's calendar. Are you listening? So you're going to get direction when your heart is on God, not for any pressure for time, not for any, you just want to please God. Then instead of seeking leading, leading will start seeking you. I'm telling you. Please, have you heard what I just said? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. I heard the story of a young pastor who was knocking on the room door of his senior pastor. The senior pastor did not hear him knock, so he just entered and saw his senior pastor with calabash on the bed. What are you doing with Calab? What are you doing with Calab? Do you understand? And it's so stupid to me. Like, why fake what can be real? With all the jazz and all the foolish things you are doing, washing your eyes, people just genuinely seeking God, they still get the power past you. Are you not ashamed? And then you do 3 years, you die. It's such a foolish contract. But the reason I'm saying it is because some of you enable those kind of, and then your whole life is hanging on a balance. You know, you can't move until one baba somewhere has confirmed. Okay, you can go to work today, no problem. At your age, some of you, because of an adulterous heart, it's easy to deceive you. There are many churchgoers. The moment one strange person wearing white just tells them few information that they could have gotten from Google. Yes. Some of them, yes. Not all of them. Listen, there is negative spirituality. Some people will tell you things that are not anywhere. But some of them research. You don't mind me? Some of them research. And then they are adults. They buff you at your age. At your age, did you not feel ashamed? Do you understand? So when your heart is not on the Lord, it will be hard. Because make no mistake, listen, sometimes the only way you can tell that this spirit is a familiar spirit is by discerning the spirit itself. You may not be able to tell by the message. That woman with the familiar spirit, everything she prophesied was accurate. So if such a person has a church, there will be nothing wrong with the sermon. Are you listening to me? Yes, but there are simple ways to catch them. Okay, so this woman, when she prophesied, people must drop money. Those are the simple ways. So any church that places, how can you go and see a man of God, they say you should drop money first, and then your sense did not tell you. Say now, Baba, we don't rebrand. Baba, don't rebrand. Your sense should have told you immediately. They say drop money first. A man of God say, you are going through this challenge. I will do it for you. You know that language. Just bring this. Then you are still rationalizing. Samuel warned Saul. He said, don't you know, obedience is better than... Some of you, you think it's activity that is in the Lord. It's the Lord. It doesn't matter. You went to see a man of God. They say you should enter backwards. You don't enter like this. Then you are still saying, but his sermon, he preaches well. Sometimes you deserve it. You then use back, enter. Adulterous generation, no sign will be given to you. So now let me ask you, in your day-to-day relationships, interactions, have you not tried to advise someone and the person did not listen? So has it ever happened that you were tired of advising, the person will not listen, so you stopped? Some of you, that's why God is not answering you. I'm telling you. Has someone ever asked you a foolish question that did not warrant an answer before? I want to help you. Some of you, the questions you're asking, the reason God has not answered is because it's a foolish question. You know, you shouldn't be asking at all. You have no business in that relationship. You know, in your heart of hearts, you know. Then you are still asking God. You know, in your heart of heart, you know. You have no business there. You know. You know. There are some things you don't need divine direction for. You need sense. Let me tell you this. I think I've told you this before. My only experience with what they call one chance. I did not know what it was. I did not know it was one chance. I just entered the cab, Buddy Thomas.
And the next thing, the person by my side, the driver started asking him, "What did you put in the boot?" And then, so the car was not speeding anymore. They were reducing. He was about to park. "What did you put in the boot?" He goes, "Please, my yoga." So I said, "Please, you are delaying me. Are you going or I should come down?" So the guy looked at me surprised. He said, "Dollars. There's dollars in the boot." I said, "Are you going or not?" And he said, "Okay, I'm not going." Then I stopped and I came down. So just randomly, I was bringing up with my mom, you know, one thing led to another. And I said, "Oh." And then my mom shouted, "That's one chance." I didn't know. So the reason they caught you make I tell you truth, that we make I not tell you truth. Listen, the reason we need to talk about this is because you can be tongue speaking and still be adulterous. You listen, any God, no matter his name, that offers you money, you will collect. That's the problem. And as long as the devil knows you have a price, that if he should just push you well, you are. He knows. He has seen your moves, because even the small things, small conviction, when you're preparing for exam, you speak in tongues, then you enter exam and you say, "What's number two?" You're asking, you are still, small things. You compromise for small things, silly things. At your age, what's number two? We are just starting. You know? So, you see, you have to practice trust in God. Practice it. The Bible says a righteous man sees trouble afar off, hides himself. Dollars that is not my own. What is my own? See, I mean, I had no interest. No, zero. See, at that time, I'm not talking about this. What I'm talking about happened 2011. No, I wasn't driving a car then. So I didn't have money. But it was not my money. Simple. And when your life is simple like that, there are a lot of troubles that won't come your way. Please, are you listening to me? This is important. All right, because time is fast spent. I want to give you 4 proofs that you are not ready to be led. Number 1, ungodly appetites. See, let me tell you something. Laugh at Esau. If you are not careful, your own is coming. There is a type of hunger that will push you. You say, "What's better, right?" Ungodly appetite. This text is underrated. People don't really talk about this, but this is so powerful. Look at Philippians chapter 3 from verse 18 to 19. I need to speed this up. Time is fast spent. Philippians chapter 3, 18 to 19. It says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." He's talking about churchgoers. They walk along the Christian road. They have Christian friends. They know Christian songs. You know, they dress the Christian way. And they have all the Christian, you know, Christianese. Bless you, bless you. He says, "But they are enemies of the cross of Christ." And he tells you why. Verse 19, he says, "Whose end is destruction." So there are some people, you don't have to wait to the future to see how they will end. The way you are moving, it won't end well. It cannot. It says, "Whose end is destruction?" Why? "Whose God is their belly?" You can be a churchgoer and have this problem. You spiritualize it. You ask God for everything. So, but the problem is, when Saul was asking God and God was replying, he had no problem. Then when God, to correct him, stopped talking to him, he just went to Baba. Quickly, witch of Endor. Immediately. Because some people are not in church for God. Make no mistake. They are not in church for God at all. Please, are you getting this?
So when God looks and says, he won't enable your idolatry, your adultery. He won't enable it. Whose God is their belly? Whose glory is in their shame? Who sets their minds on earthly things?
So when you have ungodly appetites, you will run into serious troubles.
It doesn't matter your title.
You will have serious troubles. I'm telling you, as someone who has seen a few things.
You know, and sometimes you'll be tested with your own sermon. I was preaching a sermon like this, and a brother got convicted. He came to me crying.
He said, "Pastor, in my office, they use me to do fraud. I want to repent. I have a lot of money." He mentioned a large amount, tens of millions. And this was years ago when God said, "They help me." He said, "Just give me any account. Let me pay it to your account. I don't want it."
I said, "No." The no was not loud.
I have to go and pray for the no to now be loud.
He said, "Tens of millions and 6 exotic cars." He said, "Just give me the address. Mercedes, this, that, this." I look around.
You see, now God don't bless me. I would have been ashamed. I would have said, God, and I didn't have to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you a secret in life. Everything the devil offers you, God already has more. See, the only reason the devil will offer Jesus the world is because he knew that one day, all knees will bow in heaven and on earth and beneath. So he will only offer you a reduced version of what is already in your future. Never forget that it's a pattern. If the devil offers a shortcut, it means the original is coming. So he wants to distract me from what is legitimate and is coming. Never forget that.
You see, a lot of people say all kinds of things about Bishop Oyedepo because they don't really know him, you know. But you can't fault him on this one thing. He screamed it into our consciousness. Anybody who followed that man, what God cannot give me, let me never have. It's my home training, spiritual and natural. It never occurred to me. Money that is my own cannot be sweet in my hand. It can never be sweet in my hand. So I said, number one is what? Number two, competition.
For some of you, it's not even outright competition. It's just peer pressure. There is something, my God, listen, you are more impressionable than you think. When everybody around is doing something, it is harder to hear God. You have to decongest and make sure that, do you understand what I'm saying? Declutter your mind and make sure that you are hearing from God. Because every Sunday when you come here, your friends say, bye-bye, so I'm going to Canada. Then the next Sunday, bye-bye, another person going to UK. Bye-bye. When you pray, you will start seeing visions. You'll be seeing snow. Mind you, some of you, God will make you travel the way this country is going. I'm sorry. But some of you, God will make you stay. Make no mistake. And if you sow, even in the famine, you will reap hundredfold. I'm telling you, the God of Isaac. I said this during Deeper Ago. I have traveled. I have seen it. Not every, and I'm putting it mildly, not everybody there is smiling. Not everybody is, and I don't understand. I have too much self-respect and pride to be in a nation that tolerates me. You can see it, you are tolerated. That as free as many of them claim to be, there is still a huge gap. The blacks move together. The whites move together. Can you not see it? Are you going to pretend? Do you know it's still so strong that even in the church, there are still white churches, black churches. You will hardly find churches that have mixed race. Am I saying the truth or not? So why are you, you know, then you now go there and say, why are they treating me? You are not in your house. That's why. Go home. Go home. The immigration, they ask me, I remain small, almost vexed. That wait itself. Because some of us have spoiled our name, you know. Please. The fact that God is doing it for Simbi Sally does not mean that he's doing it for you. Get your own template. Please, are you listening to me? Don't follow the crowd. Seek God and pray. Number three is impatience. Impatience. 1 Samuel 13:13, Saul again. All these examples I'm giving, Saul. Saul is an example for all of them. Impatience. The prophet told him in 1 Samuel 10, you are going to go to Gilgal and you're going to wait for me 10 days. Is it 10 days or 7 days? It's 7 days, you know. But Saul cannot wait. How we are going to go to battle and we want to... Now, he's religious about it. We can't go to battle without offering a sacrifice to God. Let's offer a sacrifice to God. But he doesn't want to do it God's way. So he can't wait. Because the prophet is not around, he goes to go and do it by himself. Puts a fire on the altar. Ah! And listen, look at this. He says, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. He says, for now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. So meaning, impatience can shorten your reign. I'm telling you. Impatient people, they usually don't last. When you are hasty, you will make mistakes. Hasty. Hasty to make money. Hasty to, you know, some people just call me old school. In economics, they taught us simple laws of commerce. There will be a product. You sell it. You buy it. Exchange. Either trade by barter or money. They say, we say, should I look for trouble? Is a crypto. Me personally, I don't understand. What are you selling? What are you buying? You will now give yourself heart attack. The thing will rise then fall like this. Bagam! You now be crying. That's your business. So I'm sorry. Especially if it's quick. You just say, you call three people. And the three people will call three people. What are the three people selling? That's what I want to know. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when you learn simple discipline, it will save you many things in life. Forgive me, maybe crypto one is different. Maybe I don't know enough. Do you understand? I will never do it, Sha, but you get. Hallelujah. So what is number one? What's number two? What's number three? And number four, of course, cheating. By the time you start cutting corners, you may spiritualize it. You know that it's not legal. Some of you, what you are doing is not legal, but you still come to church. You pray. You know, this company, their movement, no straight. You know. So, and some people make excuses for it. And that's why I tell people, start from the small things. It's not that last man will stop you before they, you even talk to them. You just say, okay, okay, hold this money. Hold this. Listen, I know in this country is difficult because I think we experience institutionalized crime. If a policeman wants to extort you, God help you. That's all I can say. You know, but at the end of the day, don't just be quick. Please, are you with me? And then you too. When you know that you have a principle not to give anybody money that you shouldn't give, you will behave. When the light is red, you will stay. God, that is how God saves people who cannot beg. People who don't like to beg, you will behave well. Do you understand what I'm saying? You behave well. It has happened at least 6 times. Last month, why did you pass here? I said, there was no sign there. He said, yes. When rain fell, the sign removed. True life story. Sorry, it wasn't rain. He said, then they did riot. They removed the sign. But I should have known. How? I said, okay, I'm wrong. Okay. I said, you are the back, shift. I said, enter. Where's your station? Let's go. I said, hey, what is it? You don't want to talk to us? Ah. I am talking to you. So, because you cannot on one hand be praying for a better country. You start from the small things. Please, are you listening to me? Start from the small things. Just... If the Bible says Daniel proposed in his heart, there must be those convictions in your heart, and start now. And I'm telling you, when you do this and God sees your heart, listen, there is an assurance in the Bible. He says, if you seek for me with the whole of your heart, oh, not half-hearted, you are not going to try for 2 days, then try, Shango. If you will seek me with the whole of your heart, he said, you will find me. Are you ready for that this month? That's that for introduction. Please stand to your feet. Time is fast spent, so we're going to pray briefly. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you a few seconds, so I want you to make it count. You know, there are prayers in the Bible like, Lord, search me, search my heart. Rid my heart of idols. God, anything that has made it difficult for me to hear you clearly. Maybe my own selfish desires and appetites, or maybe competition, whatever be the case, I declutter my heart so that I can receive clear instruction from you. I give you few seconds. I want you to pray this violently, then I pray for you. Pray it violently. Oh my God, that's not how to pray if you are seeking the Lord. That's not how to pray if you are seeking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name of prayer. My heart, more than ever before. Nothing will struggle that place with you. Not money, not the opinion of men, not fame, not riches untold. Not silver or gold. We lay down idols. And we make a pledge to bow to no other God but you, O Lord. Thank you for leading. Lord, let leading and testimonies of leading fill this church like an avalanche. Bring your people into a season of special supernatural direction. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.